costs.
As you guys head to your bye week, there's been some folks that have had some chatter about, you know, you still look like you're running someone else's offense. One of your former teammates even said on TV that he thinks that you need a new head coach. What do you make of all that noise?
No, it's just the external noise that when you're losing, you know, that's what you deal with. So, you know, I love playing for the guys that I play with, the coaches, the whole organization's been unbelievable. And I think what, you know, just got to go out and I certainly have to do a better job the last 4 weeks of the year. So appreciate it. Just have a good week.
Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, that was Tom Brady getting a little frosty. Actually, he was very polite answering the question after the Bucks lost to the Chiefs over the weekend. But then he cut the video news conference short. Our good friend Greg Allman from The Athletic, I'm sure he was on that video news conference. Nobody covers the Bucks like Greg. You can find all of his coverage at theathletic.com. You can also hit him up on Twitter, at Greg Allman. Greg, was that video news conference Frosty the Snowman at all?
It was. That was the corncob pipe right there, man. 2.5 minutes.
Two and a half minutes is all it lasted.
That's all. Wow. We kind of did, and it's like when he cuts it off, that's it. It's like, you know, it's, I think it's easier to kind of make an early exit on these Zooms. Like if you're in the room, if there's more of an objection, and it's like, you know, if you want to leave a Zoom call, well, we're all muted, man. You can go whenever you want. But yeah, it was a little short. I think he felt like he addressed it and had nothing else he had to say.
All right, we all know, you know, obviously the Bucks aren't in the Chiefs class, but few teams are in the Chiefs class, if anybody is in the Chiefs class. Where are the Bucks right now? They've lost two in a row. Brady's being questioned. Bruce Arians' offensive scheme is being questioned. Should Bucks fans be concerned at this point?
You know, I'm concerned in that, I mean, if when they were 6-2, you thought, like, maybe this was the best team in the NFC or something. They're probably not. And even like after the Rams game a week ago, we kind of asked, what if they're maybe just a good team and not a great team? It's disappointing because obviously there were some really high expectations for this team. But right now, I mean, to see the way they've lost twice to the Saints, to see close losses against the Rams and now the Chiefs, they've got some good wins. I mean, they thoroughly beat the Packers and the Raiders, but they're 2-4 against teams with winning records. So it's possible that all this team accomplishes is end this ridiculously long 13-year playoff drought, but maybe not more than that. I mean, they're going to be on the road. They're going to be potentially at Green Bay, tough places to play in the playoffs, even without normal crowds. But again, if they can take care of business here in the last four games and maybe win 3 out of 4, they'll definitely be in the playoffs. And then, you know, what you do in the playoffs with Tom Brady at quarterback is anybody's guess.
Greg, everybody's asking, should Bruce Arians adjust what he does on offense to fit Tom Brady's skill set? I'm just wondering, has he done that, or does he need to do that?
I think he has. It's one of those things where the things that you would normally do to make this look more like a Tom Brady offense haven't worked very well. It's like Tom Brady throws a ton of passes to his running backs, but the Bucs running backs aren't really good pass-catching running backs. I think they had hoped they would be good at that. But, I mean, their running backs have 12 drops this year. Entire teams that don't have 12 drops this year. And that's on, like, 85 targets, where literally one of every 7 times you throw to them, that is incomplete. It's a drop. You know, I think there are other things that would make this a Tom Brady offense, more intermediate passing, more dump-offs. You know, the thing that Bruce Arians likes to do is try a lot of deep balls. And I think it's 65 passes now that Tom Brady has attempted from 20 yards or longer downfield. And that's more than anybody in the NFL. So, you know, if your quarterback's 43 and people are questioning his arm strength, maybe you don't need to do it that much. But on the other side of things, it was a big part of why they were 6-2 was how well they hit on the deep ball early. The best thing they had Sunday in terms of getting back into a game that they didn't really deserve to be in with the Chiefs was that he hit a lot of deep balls. He hit Gronk for like 44 yards. He hit Chris Godwin for 44. He had the longest touchdown that Mike Evans has had this season. So I think, yeah, I mean, I think there's probably more that could be done to make this a Tom Brady offense, but I think there's already been a fair amount of compromise on both sides to get to where they are.
You know, do you think there's any, I don't know, is there any friction at all between Brady and the offensive play callers, whether it be Bruce Arians or Byron Leftwich?
I don't think there's like enough friction to where the relationship is fractured or something, where like Brady's not going to play a second year or Arians is going to get fired. A lot of people out there want, like, are in this mode where it's like one of these two has to go. No, one of the two doesn't have to go. They're moving along fine. They're not as crisp as they could be, but they're 7-5 right now. I mean, this is in a better position than the Bucs have really been, with maybe one exception in the last decade. Brady's on pace to set a team record for touchdowns. And, I mean, he has thrown more interceptions than he usually does, but he's also thrown half as many as the same offense had last year. So most of the ways you'd measure it is just statistically, this is a pretty successful season. It's just not as good as it could have been.
Here's one of my issues with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Ronald Jones started out having a great, great season. I think he had three straight 100-yard games. At one point, right, he had the huge game where he ran for, what was it, 180, 190 yards. Why do they keep tinkering with the running game? Why don't they just let Ronald Jones be the horse instead of trying to integrate Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Part of the reason they didn't run much Sunday is that they were behind 17-0 to the best offense in football. So I kind of understand why you move into 2-minute. But it's like Ronald Jones caught a 37-yard touchdown, okay, in the second quarter and only had one pass thrown his way the rest of the game. In the third quarter, with 3 minutes left, he had a 34-yard run and only had one touch the rest of the game. So there's just, for whatever reason, like their decision in who's in the game and who gets the ball has a lot more to do with this is what we think their defined roles are and not, hey, who just had a 30-yard gain? And that's puzzling to me. It's like you saw the drive where Jones had the long run. They brought in Fournette at the goal line, and Fournette had like a 1-yard carry at the goal line. So it's one of those where they've a lot of times you think about running backs having rhythm and getting into a zone by having a lot of carries. They really haven't let Ronald Jones do that very much this year.
Yeah, and tell me if you agree, talking to Greg Allman of The Athletic, he's our Bucs insider. Tell me if you agree with this, Greg. I almost think Bruce Arians has all of these different toys out there, and he thinks he needs to play with all the toys instead of just playing with his favorite toys. Like, Ronald Jones should be his favorite toy, and Leonard Fournette should stay in the toy box.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that would agree with that right now. I think Fournette had some good plays early in the year. I think for whatever reason they trust him more as a pass catching back. Again, he's dropped as many passes as Ronald Jones has, but I think when they get into that 2-minute offense, for some reason they have in their heads that the only back they want in the game in that offense is Fournette. So as a result, you have a guy like Jones who's like top five in the NFL in rushing, and every week he's getting out-snapped by his backup. I guess we talked about how you fall behind, you run less, and you throw more. But, I mean, fourth quarter was a one-score game, and, you know, they pretty much didn't include one of their most explosive players as part of that comeback attempt. And they almost got there, don't get me wrong. If their defense kind of gets it done a couple minutes earlier, we could be talking about Tom Brady making some amazing final 2-minute drive here. But again, with Jones, I think every week we ask him why he doesn't get more carries and more touches. And yesterday, Bruce was like, no, he should be getting 20 touches. But that's the same Bruce who only gave Jones 10 touches the day before.
Last one. What's been the impact of Antonio Brown? I haven't heard much of his name or seen many. Has he had much of an impact at all?
No, he really hasn't. And it's tricky because, I mean, he's basically displaced Scotty Miller. And, I mean, Scotty Miller was their number one receiver after 8 games. Had 400 yards receiving, lots of deep balls. And Miller's kind of the forgotten man now. I think he played 10 snaps on Sunday, had one target, and it was an interception. What's tricky about Antonio Brown, I mean, he's got, I think it's 18 catches already, so they're throwing in the ball a lot, but he's averaging like 8 yards a catch. And, I mean, that's definitely not who Antonio Brown has been in his career. He caught a 2-yard pass on 3rd-and-1 as one of his 2 catches on Sunday. So that's not what you bring a guy in and risk your team chemistry and all that to do. So the fact that he's in his, whatever, 4th week with the team and we're still waiting to see his first touchdown is problematic. You know, he had all these incentives for if he gets 6 touchdowns or 600 yards or all these things like that, he gets these big bonuses, and he's nowhere near those bonuses just because he's only averaging 8 yards a catch. So I think some of that is him still being, whatever, just a month into things here and getting acclimated. The hope when you bring him in is not that he's good in November, it's that he's really good in January. So that's what you have to hope if you're a Bucs fan, is that he's still in the process of feeling things out and getting into a better connection with Tom Brady.
Nobody covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers like our good friend Greg Allman. Check out all of his coverage at theathletic.com. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Mike. Good to talk to you.
All right, straight ahead, I'm going to ask Mark Daniels this question. He saw Bruce Pearl last night, the Auburn basketball coach. I'm going to ask Mark Daniels, why is Bruce Pearl still coaching college basketball? That's next on Open Mic.